If you have your Bible, we're reading Matthew chapter 8 as we go through the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. They say, no, you can't wash our feet. We're going to wash your feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part of me. In other words, cleansing. This was the external cleansing, but he's speaking about the internal cleansing and the washing. And Peter says, well, wash my feet and wash my whole body. And here's what Jesus says. He says, you don't need your whole body washed. You're just clean. You're clean just on the outside. In other words, I'm just going to wash your feet right now. You're clean on the inside. You're clean on the inside. My son Kenny woke me up this morning about 7 o'clock. It sounded like he was taking the house down. He was actually moving boulders from the backyard to another area in the yard. He was filling a wheelbarrow, and I come out. I'm like, what are you doing? He's covered from the head to toe in mud and dirt, sweat, and toil. I'm like, what are you doing? And I saw what he was doing, and I'm thankful. It was a job I asked him to do, right? On the outside, he's dirty. And he wanted to come in the house. I said, no, you can't come in the house. There's an outside shower. Go shower outside. You're not walking in. You're not walking in like this. You're dirty. You see, sometimes we think that because we have sinned, that now God has rejected us and we're outcast. When a cleansing that Jesus is talking about is just your life, you're outside, clean up your mind, check yourself. Are you dirty? Are you coming in the house like that? You're not. Check yourself. What are some things that need to be cleaned in your life? What are some sins that you need to take away and get rid of? You see, because if you're a born-again believer, Jesus has cleansed you. You are no longer defiled in his presence. You are clean and pure. He has put his spirit inside of you as a seal and a guarantee of your inheritance in heaven, and period. Nobody can take you away from him. I gave the illustration before. Some of you have heard it. Some of you haven't. We bought a little German Shepherd puppy some years back, and we went to see the puppy, but it wasn't ready to leave its parents, so they put a tag around or a collar around it, and they were all colored collars, and we had the purple one. I think it was purple, brown there. So we paid for the dog, and we left. 2 months later, we came back. Where's the brown collar? Right there. That's our dog. Picked it up, took it home. Jesus says, you are his. He's paid the penalty by his blood. He has sealed you with his spirit, and when he comes back to redeem you, he knows who you are. My sheep know my voice. And we're talking about sin in chapter 8. Each one of us will fall into these three categories that he speaks of in the beginning. Last week, just a reminder, we spoke of the characteristics of sin, and it's a picture of leprosy. It defiles. It smells. It's contagious. It's desensitizing. I can't speak about that enough. Because we are so desensitized about sin and the things around us in this world. You just turn the TV on it, you know, you're going to see probably 100 acts of sin in just the first 5 minutes of a program you're watching. We're so, and it's the norm. Like, we're desensitized. Oh, that's the way kids talk today, right? Oh, that's it. Everybody's sleeping together. This is the norm. But God has never changed. You see, the church is changing to meet the needs of society. Not to meet the needs, but to bow to the wants of society, because they're not meeting the needs of society. And yet God's standard, and he has never changed. And so we have to go back to the Word of God. What does he say? What else can we turn to? We've talked about the characteristics. It isolates. The one who was in sin was isolated. He was set apart. Now, does sin isolate you from God? It certainly affects your relationship. It doesn't take you away from. He doesn't erase your name out of the book every time you sin, because we'd all have holes in the paper where he was erasing our name, right? But what does it do? Well, the fellowship is different. We're not hearing from God. Our prayers are not being heard because we're walking in a willful, sinful nature. But when we repent He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So how many in here are sinless? None of us. Only one person who ever walked the earth was sinless, and that was Jesus Christ. Now, that's not to say, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's a sinner. That is true. But we need to be on our knees asking God forgiveness for our sins, and that he would empower us by the Spirit to overcome any attraction to the sins that we have. Because we live in this fallen world, in this fallen nature. And some will say, well, I've been born this way. That's right. That's why you got to be born again. Pure of the Spirit. Born again of God. And this is what he talks about. He speaks, we'll just recap chapter 8. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leper was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded and a testimony to them. Why does he say go to the priest? We've already talked about in great detail the characteristics of sin, how that person was removed from the camp. The priest had to come. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And cleanse him. But in this particular text, he says, go tell nobody else, but go to the priest. Who was the priest at the time? Caiaphas was the high priest. And Caiaphas would be one of the ones that sends Jesus to the cross. Go show him. I'm the Messiah. Look what I have done. Because you know what? Caiaphas will one day answer to God. He can't say, well, I didn't know. No, the guy came and showed you. Look what he's done to me, right? Because there'll be no excuses. There'll be no excuses. And so Jesus said to him, tell no one. It's a testimony to this priest that he would go through the purification rites. He says that the offerings given to Moses. And there's five things. You don't have to turn there in Leviticus 14. Speaks of a turtle dove, an earthen vessel, a piece of hyssop, and with a scarlet wrapped around it, and living water. So there was a whole ceremonial thing that he was to offer. It's put in living water, an earthen vessel, a type of Christ. Kill one bird, draining its blood into the water. Dip the other bird in the sacrificial blood. Sprinkle the man to be cleansed seven times with hyssop. And it's a picture of what Jesus did. The blood set them free. And so we're going to talk about this morning, before we have communion and then our potluck, the cleansing of the sinner. The cleansing of the sinner. The priest goes to the leper. How many of you were looking for Jesus when you got saved? Because I certainly wasn't. I'm just saying. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I knew I was a sinner and I was bound in my sin, but I wasn't looking for a way out either. As a matter of fact, the body would say jump and we'd say, how high? But it's when Jesus comes to your house and he knocks on your door, the door of your heart, we have that opportunity to respond. Now, there were many times that Jesus knocked on my heart. Matter of fact, Jesus says, no one can come to him unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And so after I got saved, I began to reflect of all the times and the things that happened in my life that the Father was drawing me. And then when that knock came, I responded to that knock. And so the priest comes. If you've been with us through Genesis and Daniel and the other Old Testament books, we see that Jesus is the perfect prophet, the perfect priest, the perfect sacrifice. He is our high priest. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, speaking on our behalf. This is great. Jesus is our high priest. He's your high priest. You have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus. You personally, not just corporately, but personally, have an advocate with the Father. And it's Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus tells Peter, because remember, Peter knows everything. Jesus knows everything about Peter, right? Just like he knows everything about you. He knows everything about you before he ever made you. He knew everything that you would do before it ever happened. He knew every thought that you have before you ever thought it, every word you would speak before you speak it. That's how much he knows you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head right now and how many you'll lose tomorrow. The gray hairs are moving right in as we get older, and he knows how many there are. I don't want to know how many there are. But he knows that much about you. So here's what he says to Peter. Peter was a follower of Jesus. Peter loved Jesus, right? Peter loved Jesus. Peter gave everything for Jesus. He made a lot of proclamations that he couldn't fulfill, right? But when the soldiers came, he didn't run and hide. He pulled out that sword and cut the soldier's ear off, right? But when it really counted, where was he? I never knew the man. A girl. He's sitting by a fire with a girl. Hey, aren't you one of those? I never knew the man. And he curses, right? But here's what Jesus says to him. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wants every one of us to fall into sin so that we cannot be effective for the kingdom. He wants us engaged in the conversations at our workplace. He wants our minds polluted for what we see. And when we fall into those temptations, sometimes we'll lose that ability to minister to somebody. In other words, you know, after I got saved on a Wednesday night. I went back to work the next day, and they didn't have a party for me at the police department, right? I became ridiculed, Bible boy and all this. And I was 27-year-old policeman at the time. So the darts begin to come. And you become strong, right? Oh, I don't care what you have to say. It really doesn't matter to me. But not everybody is strong. And I'm not lifting myself up too, because I did fall a couple times, right, in the conversations. But then I jump back. But what happens is when we get engaged in the same conversations and we're laughing at the same jokes and we're looking at the same pictures and we're going to the same parties, because you're just like me. What's so different about you? Why do I need this Jesus? And we become ineffective. They don't want to hear from you because you're a hypocrite. Oh, the church is full of hypocrites? Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm not always perfect. I'm never perfect. I'm trying to get there. Right? My life is set apart for the Lord, but I still fail and I still fall. So do you. And this is Satan's trap that we get sucked in. And so Peter, Jesus knows this about Peter. And listen to the words of Peter, because they're words to you and me. If you're here today, God wants you to hear this. If you went to the First Baptist, he's got another message for that flock. But for this flock, this is for you and it's for me too, as I teach it to you. Listen. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Here's what Jesus says, but I'm praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. You have the advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ, our perfect high priest, perfect sacrifice, speaking on your behalf to the Father. And here's what else he says, because he knows what Peter's going to do. This is before Peter denies him. He knows he's going to deny him. He knows the sin that you're going to do next week. He knows it. But you're still his child. He says to Peter this, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you. And when you come back to me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. We're supposed to be feeding people the Word of God, teaching people the truth of the Scripture, how God loves you, how much he's there for you. This ship is sinking. The world system is going down the tubes. And Jesus' promise is that he's coming for the rapture of the church, and everything changes at that point. While we're living in a time of grace, where God is calling all man unto himself, listen, we have a responsibility to respond to the gospel, to make disciples, followers of Christ, on whatever platform God has given you. I don't have your platform, and you don't have mine. We all have our own opportunities and sphere of influence of people that we can affect. Don't miss this morning. Every one of us influences someone. Every one of us is in areas in our community, in this world, that we're all not there. When I was a policeman, there was neighborhoods that you would never go into, but I did. And there's workplaces that you go into, I would never go into. And so it's where God has planted you. Jesus is praying for you. So, number one, the cleansing of the sinner is that the priest comes out to the leper. He comes to the sinner. While you were yet sinners, he died on the cross for us. We weren't even born yet. Right? It was 2,000 years ago. We weren't even here yet. And yet he knew the plan for our life and every day that would happen before it was written. Now listen, I have to confess something to you. I am learning this. The longer I walk with the Lord, the more I need to listen and pay attention. Because I tell you, hey, hang on to the promises of God. And I'm telling myself too, but I got to live that. I have to realize that. I have watched the Lord do some things in the last couple months, starting with the radio station. When everything looked like it was falling apart and there was no way out, that's when God showed up. If you're with us on Wednesday, Abraham and Sarah, he's whatever the age, 98, 89, whatever, they're both beyond childbearing years, and that's exactly where God wanted it, so that he could get the glory. And when things seem difficult, I have some other illustrations I'll tell you as time goes by, but wait upon the Lord. Things might be falling apart right in front of you. Like, oh, okay, Lord, if you're in this, great. If you're not, okay, great too, because you know the future, I don't. And then God shows up. So I need to know this. I need to know that Jesus is praying for me, that Satan wants to sift me like wheat. These are not equal forces. You have to remember that. There's people casting out Satan out of the church and in Jesus' name. These are not equal forces. Now, we're certainly casting out in Jesus' name, but these are not equal forces. Satan is a created being. It's not like God's winning today. Oh, tomorrow Satan's winning and oh, God's losing. It's not like that at all. But God has a plan and a purpose and a history that is unfolding. It's his story. It's unfolding in your life. It's your testimony. And the transformation that happened in your life will affect the people that you speak with. And Jesus says, let them see your good works and give God the glory. In other words, man, if God used you, there's hope for me, right? If God could take someone like you and transform you, there's hope for me. If God could, because this is our testimony. And some people don't have that contrast, like the before Christ days are really bad, and then saved days, wow, look what God has done. Others don't have that. They have just somewhat of a balanced life, but they still need Jesus as well. But in that contrast, we can certainly look and point back, all of us. I mean, I could open up this mic, and each one of us can come up here and say, oh, man, you wouldn't believe. Yeah, I believe it. Nothing's new under the sun. Your story is no greater than others, but it's your story, though, right? It's your testimony, how God has changed you and transformed you. This is what the world needs to hear. So the priest comes out. Then the priest offers a sacrifice for the person. The ceremony is a beautiful picture of the work of Christ. The priest took one of the birds and placed it in an earthen vessel, a clay pot, and then he killed it. Of course, the birds were not created to live in jars, but they fly in the heavens, right? And so Christ willingly left heaven, and he took upon himself a body, put himself, as it were, in an earthen vessel, don't miss this, that he might die for us. And note that the bird was killed over running water, a picture of the Holy Spirit. The priest then took the living bird, dipped it in the blood of the dead bird, and he set it free. Here is a valid illustration of Christ's resurrection. Christ died for our sins and was raised again, and he took the blood, spiritually speaking, back to heaven that we might be cleansed from sin. And the priest finally sprinkled some of the blood on the leper. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Hebrews 9. So God is working all this out. We can look back and reflect the Levitical law. Remember, the Levitical law and the ceremonial things were a picture of the things in heaven. And also the picture of the things what God would do for you and me. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The leopard washed and washes and he waits. The priest had already pronounced him clean. Okay, so God comes, he cleanses us by his blood, and now we're waiting. He's proclaimed us clean. The priest pronounces him clean, and so he was accepted as far as the Lord was concerned, but now he had to make himself ritually acceptable. This washing is a picture of the believer cleansing himself from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. After we have been saved, it's our responsibility to keep our lives blameless and holy for his sake. And note that the leper wait was until the eighth day, for the eighth is the number of the resurrection and the new beginning. And so, listen, yes, we're saved, but it's our responsibility to keep from sin. We still have free will. We still have a free choice. And it's amazing to me sometimes people say, well, that's great, I'm really not into it. Well, you're just as responsible for every word of the scripture as I am. Whether you're a believer or not, God has spoken, this is his word. This is, listen, this is the revelation to man, you and me. And we all have a responsibility for our lives, whether we believe by our words we are saved or by our words we are condemned. Jesus is not pushing anyone into hell. They're walking in by themselves. And so here we see the sacrifice was, the priest comes, the sacrifice was made, there's a ceremonial washing, so now you're clean. But now we have that responsibility to take a look at our lives. Wow, what else do I need to let go of and get rid of, right? What else do I need to turn away from? And we all have that, whatever it is, right? We all have it. So then the leper offers a sacrifice. He was now back in the camp at the door of the tabernacle, and he offered a trespass offering, a sin offering, a burnt offering. The sin offering took care of the defilement. The burnt offering represented his renewed dedication to God. And why the trespass offering? Because while he had been defiled, the man had not been able to serve God. And so he owes the Lord, and this is what this is, a segment of his life. So every lost sinner is robbing God of the honor due to his name. And each day there's a debt. It becomes greater and greater. We have a responsibility to serve the Lord. This is why, listen, if it was just for us to get saved and go to heaven, let's have the funeral. Let's get out of here, right? We'll just line you guys up. Boop, boop, boop. Well, I won't. Hopefully I'm gone too, right? Somebody would do the funeral. Let's get out of here. Why wait here? But the plan is that we get saved so that we can get other people saved. God has calculated you in his plan to redeem the world to himself. You go and make disciples of me, and I'll be with you. We're not doing it ourselves. We're not trying to make things happen. It's how God unfolds. Listen, here's what he says. He says, come follow me. So if we're following Christ, he's opening up the doors we're to enter, right? He's given us opportunities that we're to bring the gospel, the good news. He's bringing opportunities to be kind to someone. The leper offers a sacrifice, and then the priest applies the blood and the oil. This is a touching part of this ritual. The priest took the blood and applied it to the right ear, to the right thumb, and to the right great big toe of the man, symbolizing that the whole body had now been purchased and belonged to God. He was to listen to God's word, work of God's glory, and walk in God's way. Did you hear that? He was to listen with his ear, he was to work with his hand, and walk with his feet. So you have the ear, the thumb, and the toe. And then the priest would put the oil on the blood, symbolizing the power of the Holy Spirit going from the doing of God's will, for the doing of God's will. The blood could not be put on the oil had to be put on the blood. For where the blood has been applied, the Spirit of God can work. The rest of the oil was poured on the man's head, and thus he was anointed for his new life. If you will read Leviticus 8, you'll see that the similar ceremony was performed in the consecration of the priest. In other words, God treated the leper as he would the high priest. That's interesting to consider, right? The same ceremonial cleansing was for the leper and for the priest. That's very interesting, isn't it? This Think about that. Because in that time, if you were a leper, you were considered cursed by God. If you were poor, this is why Jesus gives us the parable of the poor and the rich beggar, or the rich man and the poor beggar. They both die. One's in Abraham's bosom, the other's in Hades. Who was in Abraham's bosom? It was the poor beggar. He was right with God. And you could just see, Jesus was using it as a parable. You could just see as he's speaking, because the Pharisees were around him waiting for him to say something bad. You could just see them ripping their clothes. Blasphemy. How could this poor beggar be in Abraham's bosom when this rich man is in Hades? How could he be saying, this is crazy, right? Why? Because they thought if you were rich, you were blessed by God. He says, my ways are not your ways, nor my thoughts your thoughts. As far as the east is from the west. And as we study Scripture, and I hope this is the case this morning, things are unfolding. The truths are coming to life in us. Wow, now I see that big picture. The Old Testament sacrificial systems were a picture of what Jesus would fulfill in the New Testament. Prophesied way before, thousands and thousands of years before. Isn't that amazing? And listen, it applies to you and me. Because whether we're a leper or a high priest, we all need the cleansing of Jesus Christ and his blood. Think about this. The oil couldn't be put, or the blood couldn't be put on the oil. The oil had to be put on the blood. Why? Well, we talked about that just a little bit. The Holy Spirit cannot come upon you unless you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's when we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, some of this is Christianity 101. Pastor, I've heard this 100 times. Great. I'm reminding you to tell somebody else what you've already heard 100 times. Are we there yet? Are we doing that? That's our responsibility. Has it captured in your heart that your occupation that you work in today is a platform to you to speak about Jesus in that occupation? I was a deputy sheriff for 29 years. I got saved halfway through my career. Everything about me changed. In my career, I had a bag full of clothes, and I'm like Santa Claus sometimes, pulling up to these places and loving on the people. Yes, I arrested people. I led people to Christ in the back of my car. Whether they meant it or not, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me, right? But it was a platform for me to reach the people that the Lord wanted to use me to get saved, right? But you're in a different platform. You have a different occupation than I am. You live in a different neighborhood, in a different house. You have different surroundings and a different sphere of influence God has given you. Remember I used the word platform? He's given you that platform to influence the people around you. I'm not going to influence those people. I'm not there, but you are. You are. Pastor says to a young boy, hey, man, I haven't seen you in church for so long. Where you been? He says, oh, I'm in the secret service. There is no secret service in Christ, right? But God has put us strategically in places so that we can now turn the light on in that dark place. Wow. Isn't it cool? It's amazing to me to think that God wants to use us to fill his kingdom. It's also amazing to me that Satan's trying to use us to fill his kingdom. Because there's two kingdoms, right? But consider the washing. Jesus came and he knocked on your heart, knowing you were a sinner. He came to you as a sinner. He has washed you with his blood. He has, because you have believed and received the gift of eternal life, he has covered you with his spirit. His spirit is in you. You are cleansed. You are clean. You are a child of God if you believe. If you don't believe, the fires of hell are going to burn eternally and you're going to be there. Wow. You see, we're going to meet Jesus as either a judge, a father, either as a judge or as a savior. Our sins are all the same. All sinners saved by grace. What's the difference? We're saved by grace. We've accepted the gift of eternal life, and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful service. Come into the kingdom. I was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. The one who hasn't received Jesus He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they will pay for their sins themselves. You see, Jesus already paid for our sins. If we believe, we're right with God. If we don't believe, we're going to pay for them eternally. This morning, we're going to pass out communion elements. It's a picture of what Jesus did. He died on the cross. But not only did he die on the cross, he descended into hell for 3 days. And then he ascended to heaven, as he said he would. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Those who believe, he puts that collar on like that little shepherd. He gives us his spirit. One day he's going to come and redeem us. It may be one at a time, or it may be as the whole church is raptured. We don't know. But now if you're a believer, you're sealed and you're his. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. No one can take that away from you. And all the promises in Scripture are for you, are true to you. And he tells us at the Last Supper to do this in remembrance of me. And so as the elements are being passed out this morning, we're to look back and say, wow. Look what Christ has done. What a sinner I am, but what a Savior I have. And I no longer want to walk in my sin. I want to be cleansed. He's already cleansed the inside. Now we got to wipe off this sin that's all around us, right?